Good afternoon, America. Welcome to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop, where we bring you all the news from the nation's capital that the government does not want you to know. And when you bring news that the government does not want you to know, I got to tell you, we've often been some of the first to bring the news. I'm proud of the fact that we here on The Scoop broke the story of cult leader Reverend Sun Myung-moon and his coronation in the Senate office building. We broke the story of Homeland Security Department bioterrorist head Paul Redmond, his sudden resignation when he admitted to Congress the truth that George Bush didn't want the Department of Homeland Security to handle that kind of information. Instead, Bush was doing it and handling it in ways outside the law. And another story that we were very early on, though it has been reported elsewhere, and that's only due to the courage of our guest, is the story of Sybelle Edmonds. Now, Sybelle Edmonds is a former FBI translator who discovered two moles at the FBI, two people at the FBI, a translator and her husband, a major, who tried to get her to join a foreign intelligence organization, it seems. In any case, she reported it to the FBI along with reports of the severe incompetence of the translation department, and lo and behold, she was fired. Instead of praising her as the great whistleblower that she was fired. So she didn't give up. She took her action to the U.S. courts. She took it to members of Congress. And the decision has just come down, just last week, from the courts. They rejected her case on grounds of national security. Even worse, Attorney General John Ashcroft will not release the report on her case. And so we have to ask, if there's nothing there, then what is it that the government's trying to hide? Well, my guest will be able to explain this to you, because I'm glad to have back on the show Sybelle Edmonds. Sybelle Edmonds, welcome again to the Inside Scoop.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you for inviting me to your show again.
Well, thank you for your courage in what you're doing. I think it's amazing and quite noteworthy. Let me ask you this first, and there's a little feedback here. Let me try to get rid of it. My question is, first of all, I don't know why there's this feedback. What is it about your case that has attracted such media attention? What is it that you think the government's trying to hide?
Well, actually, it is not very complicated because the government, the FBI, has already confirmed all my allegations to the Senate Judiciary Committee in June and July 2002, before the Attorney General Ashcroft asserted his rarely invoked state secret privilege. During these meetings, unclassified meetings with the Senate Judiciary Committee, FBI authorities confirmed all my allegations that, yes, in fact, there were translators who had ongoing relationship with certain semi-legit organization that was a top target of FBI investigations, and that, yes, one individual, one translator, previously worked for a certain semi-legit organization that was and is the FBI target of investigation and did not declare this in her application for job, and they granted her top security clearance without conducting background checks.
Well, let me give some of the information that has been reported. And, again, I know that Sibel is under certain gag limits. She can't say certain things. So let's talk about at least what's been reported in the press, that there was a couple, a Major Douglas Dickerson and his wife was a translator, and that, in fact, the couple was that she was hired, in fact, by Turkish intelligence, at least the allegations go. And, in fact, they, as soon as they started looking into the report, the couple fled to Belgium. And, again, Sibel Edmonds tried to let her country know, tried to tell the FBI about it, and instead she was fired. So if you want to talk to Sibel Edmonds, she's only here for the first half hour. I want to encourage you to ask her your calls. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, or you can send an email to comment at radioinsidescoop.com. To me, what's most remarkable is not just that the FBI fired her instead of giving her a medal. I find that remarkable. Not just that John Ashcroft tried to keep everything secret, but that even our judicial system has now dismissed the case. Did they dismiss it because Sibel lost on the merits? Did she take her case? Was there discovery? No, they dismissed it because if we found out the truth of what Sibel Edmonds has to say, it would violate the State Secrets Act. Did I get that right, Sibel?
Correct. Actually, specifically, it was cited that if this information was to come out, it would damage certain diplomatic relations and certain foreign relations.
Okay. Do we know what those certain diplomatic relations and certain foreign relations are?
Well, I do, but the public, they don't know. And this administration has been fighting, relentlessly fighting this case so that the public won't know, because the relationship, and these are not governmental relationships only benefits a certain few people in this country, not the majority of the people in this country, and it is actually damaging their national security and their interests.
Now, as I recall, you are not allowed to say, right? The court will not allow you to say which diplomatic, on the air right now, which diplomatic and foreign interests we're trying to protect. Is that right?
Correct. In fact, now they are saying even the languages I speak are considered top secret classified.
But it's obvious. I mean, you're born in Turkey. Obviously, I guess you can't tell me that you speak Turkish.
Correct. I cannot tell you whether or not I speak Turkish, and I cannot tell you whether or not I speak Farsi, and I cannot tell you whether or not I speak Azerbaijani.
And this is the court order of this judge.
Correct.
Now, did this judge meet with you and your attorneys? Did you
no,
have a hearing?
No, we have had no hearings, no briefings, no discovery. This particular judge, first of all, it was very interesting how he happened to get this case, because originally another judge was assigned to this case, and it mysteriously moved to this judge who was appointed by President Bush.
Interesting. The first judge that had the case, who was he or she appointed?
Judge Robertson, I'm not sure, but he had been in that court for a while.
So but clearly judge predating the current administration.
Correct.
Okay.
However, Judge Reggie Walton was appointed by President Bush, and he sat on this case inactive for almost 2 years, and every time we would request a hearing and he would set up a hearing, he would cancel 24 hours in advance without citing any reasons. And finally, when I was subpoenaed to go and provide depositions for the 9/11 victim family members, attorneys, the Department of Justice people, they just came out kicking and screaming, and they went in camera with the judge. We were not allowed, as plaintiffs, to be present.
Now, let me explain one second, Sibel, because I know what in camera means. I'm a lawyer. I want to make sure our listeners know. In camera is a rare proceeding where you have a secret audience before the judge. It's not a hearing in public. It's not the kind of hearing where both sides are represented. Sometimes you can have, I should say, an in-camera hearing where both sides talk to the judge, and at least, even if the public isn't aware, both sides have a hearing before a judge. But I take it, Sibel, that you were not invited, and neither was your lawyer, invited in that room for that conversation.
Correct. We were prevented from attending. And during these meetings, they presented certain evidence to this judge, which I assume that they did, and we have no way of knowing what it was and what they said. And lo and behold, the judge came out and said the whole case, without any arguments, without any discovery, is dismissed because just discussing this case and arguing it would affect certain foreign relations.
So what's interesting is that they're not saying that discussing it would harm our spy capabilities or would harm the FBI. I mean, I think an argument could be made, Sibel, maybe you disagree with me, but that if public discussion of your case were to harm, let's say, an agent that we had in a foreign country, then you could say, well, we have to protect the lives of our spies abroad. That wasn't their argument, was it?
No, and they have used many different arguments in past 2 years. For my FOIA case under Freedom of Information Act, where we requested documents, the letters and all documents that related to me, they cited national security. For gagging the Congress, which they did about 2 months ago, they cited national security and diplomatic relations.
Okay, well, there's so many things here, and I want to get them all straight because there's so many aspects to your case, and I know they can be confusing. And I know you know them very well. Let's go through them. We have the fact that you went to the FBI, told them about not just, I should say, incompetence and horrible translations, but actual people that you believed were moles for foreign intelligence, or I know you can't confirm some of this, so this is what's been reported in the press. Number two, they did fire you. That's a fact. Number three, there's a gag order on Congress. In other words, you went to members of Congress complaining about this, and Ashcroft got a gag order so that they can't talk about it. You have the court refusing your case. I assume you're appealing, by the way, right, Sibel?
Yes, we are going to appeal.
Good for you. Keep fighting. And then you also have, I should note, which we haven't brought up yet, there's an inspector general's report. Now, the job of the inspector general is to watch the agencies. The inspector general, the FBI, is to make sure that they are following the law, following the rules. They did a report on the FBI, correct me if I'm wrong, Sibel, that was also gagged by John Ashcroft. Is that right?
Correct. First of all, this report was supposed to be issued in fall 2002 because per Senate's request, they placed this investigation on expedited track. And however, again, they sat on this report for a year and a half longer. And finally, now they are saying the entire report is classified. And to this date, even the Congress has not seen it yet. They only released it to the FBI and Department of Justice and the 9/11 Commission.
Now, again, I understand the argument of keeping documents classified if they might reveal if we have agents or things like that. But they could certainly reveal a what we call a redacted copy where they blacken out any secret information but still get out the story, couldn't they?
Well, of course they can, but they are not doing this because they do not want to have any accountability. It is the accountability that they are preventing, and also knowing that they can't really lie loudly on this report because, as I said, the Senate Judiciary Committee members 2 years ago, they came out and they said that, yes, in fact, the FBI has confirmed all Ms. Edmonds' allegations. Yes, in fact, these individuals worked for these semi-legit organizations.
Specifically, who confirmed that what you were saying is true?
Senator Grassley and Senator Leahy both had written letters, and they made these letters available publicly on their website.
This is Senator Grassley. He's a Republican of Iowa, and Senator Leahy, a Democrat of Vermont. So we have bipartisan United States senators that are vouching for you. Is that right, Sibel?
Correct. And, in fact, Senator Grassley came on CBS 60 Minutes show 2 years ago, and he said that he found all these issues credible because the Bureau has already confirmed most of these allegations, and they have not denied any of these allegations.
Okay, let me give out the numbers again, folks. If you want to call and talk to Sibel, she's only going to be here the first half hour. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, or you can send emails, as many of you already have done, to comment at radioinsidescoop.com. And I want to read first a comment, Sibel, that I got on my blog at RadioInsideScoop.com, where people comment on these things. And this person has an interesting theory. It's Ben. And Ben says that he thinks the FBI is trying to police themselves and that there's more to it than either Sibel, you, or Mark, me, are telling, perhaps without us knowing it. In other words, maybe you and I don't know all the facts. The FBI is secretly trying to work this out, trying to police this, trying to capture the moles, and they don't want publicity because they're actually secretly doing the right thing. It's an interesting theory. How do you respond to it, Sibel?
Well, I would say that it would have been plausible under different conditions. However, as I have told you, it's already been established that this particular translator did not report these facts, and it was established that they did not do their jobs right and they did not conduct background investigations. And not only that, they have already admitted that as a result of this failure, several targets of FBI investigations left this country months after 9/11, regardless of their connections directly and indirectly to 9/11, as late as January, February 2002, after I reported these issues to the higher level management in the Bureau.
Okay, so these aren't just moles at the FBI, bad as that is. These aren't just foreign spies working the FBI, but you're aware of some connection to 9/11, is that right?
Absolutely, and it would be inaccurate to say foreign intelligence in terms of governmental foreign intelligence.
Okay.
We are looking at semi-legit organizations,
gotcha.
Legit fronts, but illegitimate activities.
I understand. Now, I do have another emailer from Gordon in Michigan, wants to know what security clearances that these mole translators have. In other words, the people that you said were asking you to join these, as you've called, semi-legitimate organizations. What kind of security clearances did they have? What kind of scrutiny did they go through at the FBI?
Correct. All translators for the Bureau have to have top secret clearance, TSC. That's one of the highest level security clearance you get.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I was concerned, they conducted background investigation on me for almost 2 years, and that is a thorough investigation. However, due to certain nepotism inside the Bureau, they did not conduct similar background investigations on certain other translators, and they granted them these top secret clearance without conducting background investigations.
Now, that's very interesting, and I'm going to fill in some of the holes. Sibel is prohibited by certain court orders from saying certain things. I am not so prohibited. In fact, I should let you know that I was I was going to have a top security clearance when I worked as a congressional attorney. I had applied for it. I was in the process of getting it myself. But when I decided that I was going to leave working in Congress and start to work on the radio, I specifically stopped the process. I didn't want a top security clearance because I knew if I had one, then the kinds of stuff that I'm telling you here on The Scoop, they might try to say I got from top secret information, which I didn't because I don't have that clearance. So let me tell you some of the things that have been reported, including a really good article in The Village Voice that my guess is Sibel Edmonds can't confirm or deny. But the Village Voice, according to them, says that Sibel Edmonds reported two enemy moles. One is a major in the Army, Major Dickerson, and his wife, who is a Turkish-born Melik Can Dickerson. According to the Village Voice, Edmonds said that Melik Can Dickerson had inaccurate translations that she actually put Sibel Edmonds' name on, and that these translations would show that Turkish intelligence was spying on both the Pentagon and the State Department. When Edmonds tried to tell FBI superiors, the Bureau seized her home computer, gave her a lie detector test, which she passed, and then fired her and warned her not to talk. Again, I know, Sibel, you can't confirm or deny a lot of this, but just to go on with what the article says, it goes on to say that Ashcroft used the State Secrets Act, and then it goes on to talk about the judge's ruling that she can't even say what languages she speaks. But the point is that nepotism, of course, is when you help someone in your own family, and at least suggests to me that if you've got a major in the military and his wife happens to be a translator, then maybe they didn't check out this wife like they should have. Sibel, I'll only ask you to confirm what you can legally confirm. I don't want you to break the law here on the radio. So maybe I should just move on to the next question.
Okay, I just make a quick comment in terms of Major Douglas Dickerson.
Yes.
Major Douglas Dickerson's assignment with the military involved weapon procurement from certain Middle Eastern and Central Asian countries.
Okay.
And that was his position. And the semi-legit organizations that these individuals were associated were involved in illegal arms sales.
Very interesting. Now, you know, this is also interesting because it's come up that A.Q. Khan, in fact, of Pakistan, was illegally selling nuclear weapons to everyone all over the globe, to Libya, to a bunch of other countries. And, in fact, we have just reported in the New Republic, in fact, last week, that we have decided not to complain to Musharraf about pardoning the guy who's helping all these other countries become nuclear weapons manufacturers, as long as he does something like capture Osama bin Laden or high-ranking officials during the Democratic Convention. The point is not that Sabel's connected with that. The point is that there's so much going on underneath the radar that we don't find out till years later. Remember, during the Vietnam War, they were secretly bombing Cambodia. And so it's very striking to me that they didn't end Sabel's case. They didn't dismiss her case because, it might release some U.S. secret. They're doing it on the grounds of, quote, certain diplomatic and foreign relations, unquote, which suggests to me that it's not about secrets. It's really about not wanting to embarrass a foreign government. Sabel, we have to go to a quick commercial break, but when we come back, I want to know from you specifically what you're doing. I assume you're appealing this, and also what the public can do, if anything, to try to get some of this information that John Ashcroft is trying to keep secret. If you want to call in, folks, again, Sabel's only here for the first half hour. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, or you can send an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. We'll be right back with Sabel Edmonds right after this.
Time for another Gooberhead Award, presented periodically to someone whose tongue is going 100 miles an hour, but who forgot to put their brain in gear. Today's goober is John Cornyn, a little-known U.S. senator from Texas who's trying to become a big name by rewriting the constitutional genius of the founders. Ignorance is a bad quality in a public official, but add arrogance and you've got a dangerous goober on your hands. John's all puffed up with the fumes of arrogance because he's chairman of the Senate's Constitution Subcommittee. The best public service one can offer in this position is to kill politically inspired amendments that other Congress critters are always tossing out, especially in election years. Instead, Cornyn himself has become the premier political posturer, using his position to propose not one or two amendments, but five. For example, he wants to allow members of Congress to be appointed rather than democratically elected in the event that some are killed in a terrorist attack. This has already been overwhelmingly rejected by the Republican-controlled House on the basis that it's undemocratic, unnecessary, and, well, silly. Of course, he also trots out the old right-wing war cry for an amendment banning flag burning, claiming that the 9/11 terrorist attacks necessitate this restriction on the people's right to free speech. In addition, he's pushing one to ban same-sex marriages, an odd assertion of big government power over individuals by a so-called conservative, not to mention that it would make rank discrimination constitutional. My favorite Cornynism, though, is his push for a balanced budget amendment, outlawing deficit spending. This from a guy who has voted for every one of George Bush's budget-busting boondoggles, from Star Wars to tax giveaways for the rich, creating a budget that's now $500 million in the red. If you want a balanced budget, John, just vote for one. This is Jim Hightower saying, what a goober. I'm Jim Hightower, and I've approved this message.
Jim Hightower is not running for office, but he is back this campaign season with an important word about the regime of King George V.
Let's stop beating around the bush. These people are nuts.
Let's Stop Beating Around the Bush is Hightower's hilarious new best-selling book, offering you unvarnished facts, insight, and humor to get you through this year's political spin cycle. Buy Let's Stop Beating Around the Bush today and make politics fun again. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy it today.
I'm Jim Hightower, and I've approved this message.
Jim Hightower is not running for office, but he is back this campaign season with an important word about the regime of King George V.
Let's stop beating around the bush. These people are nuts.
Let's Stop Beating Around the Bush is Hightower's hilarious new best-selling book, offering you unvarnished facts, insight, and humor to get you through this year's political spin cycle. Buy Let's Stop Beating Around the Bush today and make politics fun again. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy it today.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, bringing you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. And the government really does not want you to know about the case of Sybil Edmonds. In fact, they have done everything they can to gag her, to gag the courts, to stop even members of Congress from talking about it. About the only one they haven't yet gagged is me or Sybil Edmonds, and that's why we're talking about it right now. If you want to call in, the number's 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. And I note there's already a healthy debate on my website at www.radioinsidescoop.com. People are talking about the case, talking back and forth, and I'll read some of your comments later on. Sybil, I want to go to the phones now and see what their question is. Caller, you're on the air with Mark Levine and Sybil Edmonds.
How are you guys doing today?
Is this Brian from New Jersey?
It is.
Hey, I'm recognizing your voice, Brian. What's your question for Sybil?
I recently read her interview by Christopher DeLiso. I believe it's from balkanalysis.com. I was just wondering how the Freedom of Information Act plays into all this, and if there's any way that all these records that, you know, John Ashcroft and all of them seem to be marking as classified and not being able to see what the people can do about it in order to get them unclassified.
Sybil?
Okay, that's a very good question. After I was fired in April 2002, I filed the forms to receive information under the Freedom of Information Act from the FBI, and they did not comply with it. And in July, we went and filed our motion. And this particular judge, again, after having in camera,
secretly, in other words,
secret hearings without us being present there with the government officials, decided that basically almost 99% of these documents were top secret classified. And out of over 1,500 pages, we received only 200 pages. And those 200 pages were basically the newspaper articles and correspondence between my attorney and the Department of Justice's attorneys.
In other words, things you already had.
Yes. So they are not releasing it, and they have classified everything. So, and this includes even the letters that I myself have written to them from my house.
Well, now Brian's question, I think, though, is what can the public do about it? I mean, can we file a FOIA request?
Is there somebody that I can write to? Like, will my senator care? Is there a congressman that cares? Like, who can I write to or call?
Well, in terms of FOIA, it's both time-consuming, and they are really overclassifying everything. However, the best bet would be contacting your representatives. I have been doing this for past 2 years and 5 months, and that is the most disappointing issue here, because we are supposed to have the separation of powers and the system of checks and balances, and that system is totally broken. And I have been to so many representatives. I have been to so many congressmen, so many senators, and they have been only two people, Senator Grassley and, to a certain degree, Senator Leahy, who have stood up on this issue, and nobody else. Of all the people that I have gone to, and you know, this includes even Senator Kerry and Senator Edwards, I must say.
Interesting.
It is not even a partisan issue that, oh, Democrats are not doing or Republicans are not doing. And they just say our hands are tied. And however, your pressure and you putting the pressure, you calling, you sending letters, of course, because we have to shake them up. We have to wake them up. We have to say, come on, do your job. That's why you are elected. That is your job. You're representative.
So what can Brian from New Jersey and other people listening to our voices right now, if they want to write their member of Congress, their senators, what should they ask them to do?
They should ask their senators to ask the IG to declassify.
The Inspector General, the FBI, is the IG. Go ahead.
Yes. The most majority of the content of this report that is not really classified, and they're capriciously classifying it, and also to demand public Senate hearing, public congressional hearings. Everything has been happening behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Nothing has been happening in public. The public has the right to know. They have the right to see all these.
That makes sense. Brian, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you
so much for the answer, Sybil, and thank you, Mark, for your show.
Sure. Let me read to you, again, you've got some questions by email. A question from Jenny. Jenny wants to know, how do you know, Sybil, that the other translators were not thoroughly given a complete background check?
Because this incident was not really isolated. Other translators who had certain connections to the Bureau, again, either through family or friends, started working there before their clearance was even completed. And not only that, they have already verified that other translators have blocked certain translations from being translated by marking it not pertinent. And also, certain translators got jobs with the Bureau when they failed even ESL English as a second language level English test. Some of these people did not speak any English.
Now, do you know this because the translators themselves told you, or how do you know this?
I've noticed because I worked there for 6 months, and I know these translators, and I know this because during CBS 60 Minutes, they actually identified one of these translators. They actually showed his face. They showed his picture. They said this translator, based on FBI's own confirmation, did not pass language proficiency test and did not have completed background investigation check. And this person is still today working for the Bureau in Washington field office.
And what scares me is that, again, you can have some very important information. If they say it's not pertinent, then what they're really doing is saying, we don't want you to know what's in this.
And the agents are blocked from getting this. Agents depend on translators 100%.
In other words, the English-speaking agents who could analyze the information are not allowed to get it because they don't speak the language that it's in.
Correct.
I see. Well, I also got a blog comment. I got to tell you, my listeners are right on the ball. This is one from James. He actually quotes an article on you, and this is the quote. I want to know if this is accurate. It says, FBI translator Sybil Edmonds was offered a substantial raise and a full-time job to encourage her not to go public, that she'd been asked by the Department of Justice to retranslate and adjust the translations of terrorist subject intercepts that had been received before September 11, 2001 by the FBI and CIA. So what this article says is that they said don't tell them about translations of terrorist intercepts we got before September 11th, and we will give you a substantial raise and a full-time job. Did that happen? Can you answer that?
That is mostly accurate, except the part that they asked me to change translations. I don't know where they brought that piece.
Okay.
However, initially, when I reported these to my immediate supervisors and middle-level management in the Bureau, the first thing was, why would you want to do this? In fact, we were considering giving you a full-time position. And then immediately they offered me, they offered to pay for all my foreign travel trips. And for my husband, they said, this is what I can do, both domestically and outside the country. I can travel, and I can say, okay, I'm going, let's say, to Turkey, or I'm going to this place to visit with my families. They would arrange for fake TDYs, that is a travel assignment that you get a specific budget for, taxpayers' money, so that my plane trip, my hotel, everything would be paid off under fake TDYs.
Under fake,
fake
phony
TDYs.
Phony requests they
Correct.
Would make for
phony
you.
Phony requests. And do you know how many translators take advantage of things like this?
I'm sure quite a few do.
And that is something that gives them something to hold on to these people, because if I were to use something like that, they would come out and say, you know what, Sybil Edmonds did this.
Right.
And
then what they can do...
And they can't find anything like that.
They can blackmail
you. Crazy.
What they can do is they can blackmail you. They can say, Sybil, I wouldn't talk about the fact that George Bush had all this information about terrorist attacks before September 11th, about these intercepts coming in that we knew about before September 11th, because if you do, I'm going to bring up the fact that you used some phony invoices to pay for a trip to Turkey. I think you are very wise to turn that down, Sybil.
Bush, first of all, is criminal. It's illegal. It's
right,
taxpayers'
right,
money.
Right, absolutely. Now, to what extent was it a quid pro quo? Was it, we will let you get this money on these fake invoices if you don't talk about the pre-September 11th terrorist intercepts?
It was very, very obvious. For example, at that time, I was taking several classes in this university, and they asked me to come to work on Saturday, Sunday, bring my school books and textbooks, sit there, study, do nothing, and bill them for, let's say, 8 hours, and 8 hours, 16, 20 hours, and you calculate it from approximately $40.
Right.
You're making $600, $700 just sitting there and studying.
And what was the what did you have to do in order to get this free money?
Do not report this any further. And
they made it that clear.
Oh, absolutely.
Now,
if
have
that
you report-
was to go to headquarters, that if that was to go to headquarters, I was told that they would start an investigation on me and I would be fired.
Now that is really amazing stuff, folks. Now you heard it here first. I haven't heard it reported exactly in this way. Maybe it has been reported somewhere else first. But what Sabelle is saying is that Bush administration officials offered her a bribe. That's my words, not hers, but I don't know how else you describe it. A bribe, cash, if she would not disclose to the public that George Bush had information prior to 9/11, or at least his administration had information prior to 9/11 in foreign languages of terrorists planning attacks of 9/11, if she wouldn't let the public know that George Bush should have done something about 9/11, then she was going to get all this money. Now, I haven't heard that reported anywhere, other, at least not in that kind of detail. I guess James found it. Thank you, James, for bringing that up. That's shocking stuff. That's really shocking stuff. Sabelle, I only have you here for a half hour. I wish I could have you much longer. But I hope you'll keep us posted as your case progresses. I hope your appeal succeeds. And that you'll come back on the Inside Scoop, hopefully with some good news, that this government is going to be forced to tell its secrets.
We are getting there, and I will absolutely be more than delighted to come back to your show, and I will keep you posted. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. Well, folks, that you heard it. This is really amazing stuff here. Of course, the case of Sabelle Edmonds continues to progress. And, you know, it's amazing. If it weren't the Bush administration, I mean, shouldn't this be front page news? Shouldn't this be opening ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN? Bush officials offered a bribe if a translator would not tell that the Bush administration had access to information about 9/11. In other words, Bush, presumably from incompetence, because I'm not willing to think that he's malicious enough to allow September 11th to occur. So I'm going to say it's from incompetence. But incompetently failed to have the information that was already there that there was going to be attack on September 11th. And then when the translator tries to tell the public about it, they're offered all kinds of criminal behavior that they can blackmail them for. Why aren't these higher-ups being fired? I guess I didn't ask Sabelle, and I should have, who it was that offered her this quid pro quo. I would suspect she's already told the FBI, she's told the courts, and I would suspect that person is still working for them today. In fact, I will find that out. I will find out if that person is still working for the FBI today, and I'll let you know on my blog. But the discussion is not over. We have to go to commercial break, but I want to know what you think about this. Had you heard this story before? And why don't you think the media is covering it? Here they go again, the Bush administration, with another, I mean, remember, they impeached Bill Clinton for a sex act. And now we have allegations of bribery, of doing criminal acts, phony invoices to try to get a translator not to tell the truth to the American people about the greatest terrorist attack in American history. And you're only hearing it here on the Inside Scoop and a few select media sources. What is going on here? Let me know. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. You can always send an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. You've heard from Sabelle. Now I want to talk with you right after the break.
Walmart, we're told, is the epitome of free enterprise in America. Work hard, be innovative, achieve efficiencies, and your company will be rewarded with riches. Oh yes, one more thing, be sure to load up on government subsidies along the way. Good Jobs First, a research center that studies the doling out of public money to corporations, reports that the sprawling of Walmart's empire has been fueled by the steady injection of more than $1 billion from the pockets of us taxpayers, including taxes paid by local businesses that subsequently have been squeezed out of existence by Walmart's subsidized muscle. Digging into scattered, often hidden records of state and local governments, the center found 244 cases of giveaways, including construction grants, special tax breaks, and job training money. The average payout to a Walmart store was $2.8 million. Imagine being an independent pharmacy, hardware store, grocery, or other shop and having to compete with a multi-billion-dollar giant that is then handed an extra $2.8 million tax-paid advantage over you. The actual subsidy is much larger, for the center was able to look at only a portion of the 2,900 Walmart stores. Also, the report covers only the direct development subsidies, not counting the huge wage subsidy it gets. Walmart pays at a poverty level and provides no health coverage for a majority of its workers, instead counting on food stamps, emergency rooms, and other publicly financed services to underwrite its workforce. Oh, tut-tut, sniffed a Walmart PR flack. Don't you know that in 10 years the company has collected more than $52 billion in sales taxes that help finance local governments? Well, tut-tut right back. That's not Walmart's money. So excuse us if we don't roll over in gratitude. This is Jim Hightower saying, to learn more and to help push for economic development policies that work for local folks, call Good Jobs First, 202-626-3780. I'm Jim Hightower, and I've approved this message.
Jim Hightower is not running for office, but he is back this campaign season with an important word about the regime of King George V.
Let's stop beating around the bush. These people are nuts.
Let's Stop Beating Around the Bush is Hightower's hilarious new best-selling book, offering you unvarnished facts, insight, and humor to get you through this year's political spin cycle. Buy Let's Stop Beating Around the Bush today and make politics fun again. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy it today.
Welcome back to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop on Washington. I'm former congressional attorney Mark Levine, bringing you all the news from the nation's capital that the government does not want you to know. And the government sure does not want you to know about the case of Sybil Edmonds. I have tallied up all the incredible things that she has said. And, you know, folks, if Sybil Edmonds is not to be believed, then why is the government fighting so hard? Why have they dismissed her lawsuit without having a hearing, without allowing her to talk to the judge, while they've been given secret reports of the general's report on this information classified? Why has John Ashcroft gone so far as to take the two senators who found her to be credible? And remember, Sybil Edmonds passed a background check. Why is it that John Ashcroft has got a court order gagging those two senators, Grassley and Leahy, Republican and a Democrat, right? This isn't a question of partisanship either. What is there that's going on here? Let's go through what Sybil has said, all right? She found two moles, at least, in the FBI that have connections to 9/11. People working in our FBI that have connections to 9/11, okay, and also connections to a foreign state. Right. We know that one of them is former Air Force Major Douglas Dickerson and his wife, Turkish-born Can Dickerson, who suddenly, when this came up with Sybil Edmonds, picked up and moved to Belgium in 2002. Gordon asked me if they're still in the FBI. Well, this couple picked up and moved to Belgium, hasn't been heard from since. Well, why are we pressing the Belgian authorities? She talked about such incompetence that we had translators in the FBI that couldn't even speak English. Maybe they speak the foreign language, but they can't speak English. So how can they do a decent translation? We've just found from the Senate Intelligence Report of all the manipulations of data, all the exaggerations of intelligence, and, you know, if we don't have decent translators, how are we getting any information? We also, I should tell you, reported on this show back in January that the FBI and our intelligence officials, our military, I should say, is firing hundreds of our best translators, including the guy who earned the top-ranking translation in Arabic anywhere in the country, was fired. Why? Was he a spy? Was he dangerous? No, because he's gay. because obviously we don't think national security is as important as persecuting gay people. So we're throwing away our good translators. When Sybil Edmonds tries to talk about our incompetent translators or our spies, not only is she fired, but she's told, if you won't tell, if you can keep a little secret that our officials knew that September 11th was around the corner, or at least had intercepts from terrorist organizations that said that September 11th was around the corner, that talked about September 11th, that they did nothing about it in addition to Colin Rowley, the FBI agent who talked about Musawi hitting planes into buildings, in addition to the fact that, in fact, CIA Director George Tenet, former director, I should say, has admitted in Bob Woodward's book that he knew all about Musawi, the so-called 20th hijacker who liked to fly buildings but didn't want to take them off, didn't want to land them. So our government knew all about the plot. Now, either George Tenet, who met every single day with our president, either he told our president and our president was too busy playing golf, see Fahrenheit 9/11, in that month before September 11th when Bush took off so much in vacation. Either Bush was too stupid to understand. I'm not going to go with the argument that Bush was malevolent and allowed this to happen. I detest our president. I think he's the worst in my lifetime. I'm not going to say that he would have purposely allowed this to happen. I just think he's too stupid and incompetent. And the information came across his desk, and he just, you know, couldn't really focus on it. You know, it may have come across his desk in more than a page, and George may have difficulty reading more than a page. So he incompetently did nothing to stop September 11th despite all this information, but that's not the scandal. That's scandalous enough, just our president's incompetence. The real scandal is the cover-up. Remember what happened in Watergate. It wasn't that, you know, Nixon was involved in the break-in in Democratic headquarters. I haven't seen any evidence to show that Nixon was involved in that. Maybe he was. You could let me know. Dial in, 877-57-SCOOP. My understanding is that he got in trouble was the cover-up. Well, what do we have here, folks? We have a cover-up. We have people trying to pay off Sybil Edmonds. And to her credit, and to her patriotism as an American citizen, a naturalized American citizen, she refused to do it. She refused to do the criminal acts with the phony invoices and the payoffs that they promised her. Now, do you hear Richard Nixon here? Well, $50,000? We could get that, right? Right? That was on the tape. That was the famous Watergate tapes. Well, someone offered to pay off Sybil Edmonds. Is anyone investigating this? Is the FBI investigating this? Well, they're keeping it awfully quiet. The Inspector General, is he investigating this? Maybe. But John Ashcroft has said that the Inspector General's report remains classified. Is Congress investigating this? Well, maybe. Maybe Senators Grassley and Leahy are. But John Ashcroft got a court order to keep them quiet. How can he even do that? Talk about separation of powers, by the way, as a lawyer. How can John Ashcroft gag two United States senators? It's up to us, folks. It's up to the public. It's up to you and me to call our senators, to call our members of Congress, tell them stop messing around with things like the Federal Marriage Amendment, which failed today, I'm proud to say, by the way. There was a vote 50-48. They couldn't even get a majority for a constitutional amendment. Requires a two-thirds. They couldn't even get a majority to end debate because they're, again, so busy persecuting gay people that they don't want to focus on spies at the FBI, on official government cover-up. Now, I have not called before on this radio station for George W. Bush's impeachment. I think it won't happen. I think that you've got a Republican Congress controlling the House. They're not going to bring up articles of impeachment. And besides, in 4 months, we can get rid of George W. Bush. We can elect John Kerry and John Edwards and get rid of this corrupt, incompetent government forever. So I haven't called for George W. Bush's impeachment. But I'll tell you this. If there's an investigation into this, and if it can be shown that at the highest levels, this administration is organizing a cover-up, is organizing an illegal payoff to Sybil Edmonds, which she rightly turned down to her credit, and to, you heard her, to other translators. Did you hear what she said? Other translators are taking the cash. They're taking the money. This cover-up, it seems to me, is worse than Watergate. because in Watergate they were breaking into the Democrats, right? They're breaking into political opposition. In this case, we have a cover-up of what the president knew, terrorist attack in America. They can't know. The 9/11 Commission's supposed to find out about this, but they can't know if people are paying people to cover this up. I can see why Sybil Edmonds' charges are explosive. I can see why John Ashcroft doesn't want anyone to know. What I can't see, and the people I do blame, is the American press. This shouldn't just be here on the Inside Scoop. And I should say, it's not. It's not. There are other news sources. James Avery found, one of my listeners, found a terrific news article. There are articles you can look up on the Internet, but it hasn't gotten much press. And if you think about it, it's something worse than Watergate. I do want to get your comments on it. The number is 877-57-SCOOP. I want to read some of your emails. We're going to take one more commercial break, and then I want to hear from you if you agree with me that this scandal, if it ever sees the light of day, is something way worse than Watergate. Not only compared to the impeachment of Bill Clinton over a sex act, lying about a sex act, this is war and peace and spies and national security. Do you agree with me that this is really scary stuff? That this, if true, warrants impeachment? Let me know. The number is 877-57-SCOOP. We got one more break, and we'll be right back.
Bush and gang came into office claiming to be morally superior to the sexually crass Bill Clinton. They took special glee in highlighting Clinton's reprehensible attempts to parse the legal language of what constitutes sex, pointing to Bill's infamous contortions over what the definition of is. But, holy hypocrite, look who's doing legalistic contortions now, parsing the language of the law not to excuse personal sexual misconduct, but to rationalize the much more crass act of official torture. Internal memos now show that all of Bush's top lawyers were straining at the bit to unleash the CIA, FBI, and military forces to break both U.S. and international laws that ban the use of torture when interrogating prisoners of war. One in particular, a 2002 memo by Jay Bybee, top legal counsel in Bush's Justice Department, went to extremes to claim that in grilling detainees, the Bushites could use practically any torture methods short of killing prisoners without violating either our own nation's torture law or the Geneva Accords. Bybee's memo went into excruciating detail to parse such terms as severe pain, imminent death, and profound mental disruption. The memo concludes that only physical pain as intense as you would expect from organ failure or death qualifies as torture. Short of that, anything goes. The same anything-goes mentality that corrupted Enron and most of corporate America now is loose at the highest levels of government. It just shows that if top officials unleash crafty lawyers to justify the most despicable actions, they will. By the way, George W. has subsequently put Bybee on the U.S. Court of Appeals, where he can apply his anything-goes mentality to all the cases that come before him. This is Jim Hightower saying, we need a president who will choose lawyers of conscience, not of convenience.
38%.
46%.
42%.
I cut my payments in half.
How much can you cut your monthly student loan payments by refinancing with College Loan Corporation? To find out, just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will answer your questions and tell you how you can cut your monthly payment by up to 50% by refinancing your federal student loans at rates as low as 2.63%. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Your dog eats your new sofa. Pet satisfaction rating 3%. Your hairdresser doesn't know burnt auburn from burnt toast. Hair color satisfaction rating 5%. After years of marriage, your husband still leaves the seat up. Spouse satisfaction rating minus 2%. Your car insurance company saves you hundreds of dollars and handles your claim quickly and fairly. Car insurance satisfaction rating 97%. Oh, you must have Geico.
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO.
Welcome back to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop on Washington. I'm your host, former congressional attorney Mark Levine. We're talking about the shocking case of Sybil Edmonds. And I got to tell you, I learned on this program. I knew many of the facts of the case, but I've learned more. And frankly, it's more serious than even I had thought. And the comments on the blog are fast and furious. If you want to comment on the Radio Inside Scoop blog, it's really easy. Just go to RadioInsideScoop.com, the same website where many of you listen to the program over the internet, and read the description and then click Go To. And you'll see my listeners back and forth talking with each other, sometimes attacking each other, often agreeing with each other. But that's what democracy is all about. You can add your comment to the blog. And if you do it live during the show, I get a copy right here, and sometimes I read them on the air. So I just want to encourage people to go in, as many of you have, and to comment on the blog. And I want to specifically thank James for giving me that first indication about Sybil Edmonds being offered a bribe in order to not talk about what intelligence we had prior to September 11th. And so I'm going to read another comment from James. And by the way, you don't have to give your last name on these things. I like to give a name, then you know who I'm talking about. And maybe let me know where you're from. So I don't remember, James, where you're from. You don't say. But James writes, "I'm constantly amazed at how little of this information is reported on the mainstream news. The recent report on the intelligence that led us to war basically admitted that the intelligence was incorrect. Intelligence that led us into a war where American soldiers are dying. Intelligence that has led us to spend billions of dollars. I should say hundreds of billions of dollars, James. This intelligence was wrong," James writes. "How is this not bigger than Watergate? How is this not a huge deal? The media is brushing it under the carpet and just showing speeches of Bush on the campaign trail." Thank you, James. You know I agree with you. You know that's why I'm here on the scoop, spreading information like this. Got another comment from Jenny. She says, "This is a perfect example of how our checks and balances are a waste of time. To heck with my Prozac. I'm switching to medical marijuana. But then again, maybe the FBI is watching me under the Patriot Act." You know, Jenny, I'm not going to say that our checks and balances are a waste of time. The problem is that right now all our checks and balances are controlled by the same party. If you had a House of Congress, the House of Representatives, or the Senate, or you had the United States Supreme Court, or the presidency, controlled by Republicans, then you would see the checks and balances. The problem is they have a lock. They have a lock on all our institutions of government. And I would hope that anyone listening here who's not a Democrat, that those of you who are independents, those of you who are Republicans, I would hope that y'all can see, no matter what you think about all the fringe issues that the parties bring up, things like abortion, and I don't mean to say abortion is not important. I realize it's very important to many of you. But these social issues where the parties sort of have the consistent views and are never changing, I would ask you moderate Republicans, you independents, to recognize that when you have a one-party state, which is what we have in this country, a one-party state, you're not going to get the checks and balances that Jenny wishes we had, that I know we have in our Constitution. Frankly, the only check left is the fourth estate. You know, the three branches of government, presidency, Congress, and the courts. There's the fourth estate, the press. And even that, we know that 90% of talk radio is done by conservatives. We did a show on that just recently. So I'm the only guy left, right? A few activists and me, MoveOn.org and myself, we're 10% of the fourth branch of government trying desperately to let the American people know what's going on. And frankly, I need your help. I need you to do what Brian from New Jersey is going to do. I need you to call your senators, call your member of Congress. I need you to tell people about my radio show, The Inside Scoop. And frankly, I could use some more advertisements. I got Jim Hightower spots, but I could use some more advertisements. If you want to advertise a product on The Inside Scoop, just send an email to advertise@radioinsidescoop.com. Let's keep this coming. Let's keep this information flow coming out, because we know it's not coming out in the mainstream press. And I think Gordon has it right. Gordon writes from Michigan. This bribe is smoking gun stuff. Is this too hot for Kerry to handle in a campaign accusation? I think it is, Gordon. I think it is too hot for Kerry to handle because, you know, you're accusing the President of the United States of doing something worse than Richard Nixon. And I think there's where there's smoke, there's fire. I mean, if Sybil Edmonds was wrong, all they'd have to do is have a hearing, show her allegations to be false, you know, and her case would be dismissed, and no one would talk about it. The fact that they're covering everything up, her allegations and the lawsuit and the Inspector General's report and John Ashcroft's gag on Congress. The fact that they're covering it all up suggests to me there is something there. But I think you're right, Gordon. I don't think Kerry can bring it up. I think it is too hot to handle. We don't know, for example, that Bush was behind the bribe. It was probably Cheney, frankly. He's the guy really in control. Bush, as we all know, is the figurehead, the boy king that dresses up in the flight suit. Bush may not have known. So I think that the allegation has to be dealt with carefully, and that's why I can bring it up and you can bring it up, but it's probably best that John Kerry not bring it up. I want to tell you about my show tomorrow because I'm really excited about it. We move from the sublime to the ridiculous, as they say, but it's actually quite important, and I don't need to minimize it because there's been a recent spate of outings. Do you know what an outing is? An outing is when you have a closeted gay politician, and they support anti-gay legislation. And the question is, and it may be right, should you, if someone's a big hypocrite, if someone is supporting, for example, the federal marriage amendment that just went down in flames today, and they really are a closeted gay person, shouldn't we let people know? I'll tell you who's going to be on my show tomorrow. It's a very special guest. My former boss, Congressman Barney Frank of Massachusetts, openly gay member of Congress from Massachusetts, is going to be on the Inside Scoop tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. You won't want to miss his views on should we out-closeted gay politicians. But you know what? It goes further than that. Because the gay newspaper in Washington, the Washington Blade, is talking about outing gay staffers as well. Maybe gay staffers who work to harm gay people, maybe their hypocrisy should be disclosed. And so I have Chris Crane, the editor of the Washington Blade, also coming on tomorrow. It's a very interesting discussion. I haven't heard it discussed anywhere, on talk radio, on the news, anywhere else. But we like to bring you these things first on the Inside Scoop. So make sure you tune in tomorrow for a fascinating debate of when do you expose hypocrisy. I believe in the right to privacy, but if someone is actively working to harm gay people and they themselves are gay, maybe the public needs to know about it. I want to hear what you think. Tune in tomorrow to the Inside Scoop, 3 o'clock Eastern, 2 Central, 1 Mountain, noon Pacific. If you want to comment, just comment on the blog at www.radioinsidescoop.com. And if you really want to help out the Inside Scoop, it's something very simple you can do. Don't keep it a secret. Let everyone know. All you do is go to www.radioinsidescoop.com. This is Mark Levine. Until tomorrow, signing off.